Chapter 5. The Bruce Family House, Sydney, Australia, January. Saturday, early afternoon. Yes, big sister, we're coming. Bye. Vet giggled and replaced the phone on the wall. She waved at her younger sister, who was poised on the wrought iron banister on the second floor. Lucia, they're there, at the station. Eve reckons Frank's running around like a chook without a head. Frank wants to throw the bags through the train windows while Eve herds the kids through the doors. When the train comes, it hasn't. Eve's not sure if she'll survive till then. She's praying even more than usual. Lucia slid down the mahogany banister towards her. Violetta, we'd better help her. Lucia jumped onto the black and white marble tiles. Vet sat on the edge of the embroidered chair underneath the phone, facing the grandfather clock next to the front door. Heavens, Luce, we have nearly 4 hours before the train leaves for camp. Lucia straightened her dress, a clean blue one with an embroidered white gardenia, and leapt from the hall into the large family room. She closed the computer, picked up fish food nearby, spun on her heel, and tossed some flakes into the fish tank for the guppies, carp, and luminescent tropical fish swimming through the seaweed, coral, and fake sunken ships. She dropped the shaker on the tank cover, scooped up the marmalade cat Nefertiti, stretched over the fish tank, and ran towards her luggage stacked inside the kitchen door, where she released Nefertiti. Nefertiti ran over the black and white marble tiles on the kitchen floor, following the tiles through the double glass doors and onto the back veranda, until it reached Elizabeth, the mother of the three sisters. Lucia picked up her sleeping bag and yelled through the kitchen, "Bye, Mamma Mia, I'm off. Don't forget to feed the fish and the emu and the sheep and the cats. And happy 25th wedding anniversary on Thursday." Elizabeth switched off her computers and flicked her straight chestnut hair away from her red wire glasses. She smiled at the air Lucia had just now vacated as she lifted Nefertiti onto her lap underneath the glass table. Elizabeth turned Nefertiti's face towards her and frowned. "Ah, Nefertiti, a husband, three daughters, and a son-in-law. And yet I'm alone for a whole week." Lucia slung her sleeping bag around her neck. She ran down the corridor towards the front door. "Violetta, let's get out of here." Vet was still sitting against the wall next to the telephone, watching pink and green light change the color of the white marble floor tiles. Sunlight was passing through the half-opened front door, through the enormous stained glass. Red Waratah flower. Lucia blocked the light through the Waratah window. The light returned as she ran into the front veranda. "Hurry up, Violetta. Everyone will already be at the trains. Cripes, the kids have money and are bound to be bored. We have to get there." Vet blinked, pushed her glasses further up her nose, and yelled down the hall towards the kitchen. "Lucia, I just had my shower. I need tea. 10 minutes. Eve will be okay. And the kids. Other counselors will help. Do you have everything for a week? The mountains get cold." Vet stood and stretched. She walked slowly down the corridor into the kitchen to the bench underneath the window, flipped the first part of Aida into the compact disc player. The sounds of the violins from the prelude followed Vet through the back door to the back veranda. She shooed Nefertiti's twin, Tutankhaten, off a wrought iron chair, flopped into it, groaned across the glass table at her mother. "Lucia! Vita, you must stop bossing, Lucia. Try. Please try at camp. You're not very nice to her. Be careful." Elizabeth poured tea from a delicate porcelain teapot, added milk, and pushed the cup and saucer to towards her middle daughter. Vet raised her cup, holding it midway between her mouth and the saucer. I am careful. Always. She brought her cup to her lips, grinned at her mother, closed her eyes, and drank her tea without pausing. She grunted, pushed her chair back, and stood, clattering her cup back on the saucer. She glanced at Elizabeth, who was watching her. Sorry, Mother, tea was cold. I'd better leave. Vet sauntered into the kitchen, over to the sink. She shouted over her shoulder to her mother, over the singing of Radames, the Egyptian general who loves the enslaved Ethiopian princess Aida. Mother, don't worry. The fires in the mountains all burned out a few weeks ago. Don't worry about the fires in the northern suburbs. The rich people will keep them all to themselves. They won't go 50 miles west and up the mountains. She washed her cup under a small trickle of water, collecting the runoff in a plastic watering can. Mother, the fires have to cross the harbor and burn down the bridge and the opera house before they get here, or else they have to burn down all the western suburbs and the plains before they move up to the mountains. You are in the same danger here as we are in the Blue Mountains. She sprinkled runoff water onto the mint plants in the window over the sink. Anyway, the campuses at Katoomba were never in danger, even when the fires burned down the camp house in Springwood. No, no worries. She balanced the saucer on the cup at the side of the sink, turned around to her mother and yelled, "We'll be back in a week. Herself will be fine, and I am older, so I will be finer." Elizabeth had not heard most of it and was not about to smile back. She moved around in her chair to look through the locust trees around the veranda, to the flame tree beyond the emu pen, to the weeping willows along the river. So little water. Everything was dry. The rains had failed them. Even the January cyclones in northern Australia. Can't use the dishwasher. Have to use laundry runoff for the vegetable garden. Grim. Please don't shout from another room, Vet. Vet turned back to the mint and stroked some leaves, yelling louder. The Anglican Church always has everything under control, Mum. And could you water the mint when we're away, please? Elizabeth peered through the glass table at the floor. The twin cats were both on the floor and were now rubbing against Elizabeth's legs. Yes, Vida, of course. We know that the Lord God is an Anglican, or at least on our side. Well, we shall see if the fires have gone from the mountains. Elizabeth reached over to the milk jug and moved together two saucers on the table. We shall see. Plenty of other dangers. Snakes, sunburn, drowning in the lakes and swimming pools, spiders getting lost in the bush. I know we all forget, but Lucia is only 11. And you know she thinks she can do anything. Mint? Do you mean mint? Certainly, Vida. Elizabeth poured milk into the deeper saucer. The twin cats stared up at her through the class table. Mother, Eve and Frank are in charge at camp. We'll all make sure Lucia doesn't do anything really dangerous. She won't even put salt on her dinner, so don't worry. I will sit on her head the whole week, lightly, so she can breathe. Vet picked a mint leaf, sniffed, and ate it. Elizabeth carefully lifted the saucer of milk and placed it on the floor on a white marble tile. Please, Vita, don't drink that way at camp, and eat something once in a while. You're so tall and fading away. All that will be left of you is lungs and disgusting table manners. The twin cats lapped the milk. Elizabeth frowned at Vet. You could at least let me drive you all in the Mercedes van. Elizabeth turned to stare at the emu pen. What would she and Phil do with the latest emu egg that Lucia had deposited in the refrigerator? If only all the stocks she dealt with had returns like that. Everyone is going by bus and train. It's better for the environment. Vet walked back towards her mother and firmly grasped a green wrought iron chair back. Elizabeth watched a kookaburra rest on a post outside the emu pen. Nearby, Lucia's two sheep were quietly eating their way through the hay. Elizabeth nodded. She must remember to feed them in the morning. Sheep, the only household in Sydney with its own sheep. Lucia had seen a picture of sheep eating the grass in a park in London. Thrown away the fuel lawnmower, acquired council permission, ordered the two merino sheep online. No arguments, no discussion. All on Phil's credit card. Just as well Lucia appears to be honest, she can access anything. And then the drought burns the grass, so Lucia has a weekly order for hay and grain, which costs are more than adequately covered by selling some of the merino wool she has shorn from the sheep. And Eve has been making the most exquisite sweaters from the wool. Maybe she taught them something about investments. Elizabeth sighed and spoke out loud. Just watch out for her. I know it's impossible to stop her once she gets started, but if you can just divert her once in a while. Nefertiti jumped onto Elizabeth's lap. Lucia will be all right. We're going to have a great time. Ved hugged her mother. Elizabeth had just given her permission to stop Lucia in her tracks. Ved kissed Elizabeth's cheek. Her mother did not move, but her cheek softened. Nothing in the universe was going to stop her worrying about her daughters the whole week. Vet walked slowly into the kitchen backwards, occasionally turning around to see where she was going. Now, mother, drink another cup of tea and enjoy the quiet and the smell of the lemon trees and the gardenias while you can. And do remember to sail. And make sure it's to somewhere fabulous. We'll email you and phone you nonstop. And you and Dad have a wonderful time at the performance of Aida in the Opera House on Thursday. Wow, cool. Elizabeth was again watching the sheep, thinking about having to clean up after two ungrateful quadrupeds for a whole week. Vita, you really should try not to be so patronizing. I know exactly what I need to do. However, thank you for your good wishes. What I really need is for you three sisters to be careful. Outside the kitchen door, Vet wrestled on a backpack. She shouted at her mother, Happy silver wedding. See you Saturday. We'll be good. Just don't worry. Lucia was juggling oranges on the gravel driveway, singing the Magnificat, a garland of wild flowers bouncing in her hair. Tutankhaten was perched on the side of the bird bath, watching Lucia and purring. Lucia reached the part about God scattering the proud in their conceit as she ran through the orange grove to the tall fence on the side of the house. She opened the cast iron gate and ran through the clothes hanging on the clothesline. She ran down the backyard to the emu pen, singing loudly, exuberantly, while she lobbed the oranges into the hay. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly, so everyone had better remember to close the gate. Vet appeared on the front veranda. Lucia ran towards her, slamming the gate shut. She skipped back to the orange grove and looped her bags around her neck. She leaped onto the low sandstone wall, holding back the lavender and honeysuckle bushes. Violetta, come on, hurry, we have a train to catch. Lucia ran along the wall and jumped off the last rock, followed by Vet. Lucia's garland slid off her hair, down her back into her dress, where it was retained by her braided merino wool belt. Tutankhaten yawned. It jumped down from the bird bath and galloped towards the backyard to pursue possums, sheep, and anything that squawked. Elizabeth did not move. When she had stopped thinking about the emu egg, she found herself staring at the flame trees moving in the breeze, thinking that the person who named the trees had never been in a bushfire. Elizabeth's gaze moved to the vapor trap. Lucia had constructed it from floppy disks, plastic bottles, and discarded bicycle parts. It was designed to recycle any moisture that had decided to condense into drinking water, channeled directly into a drinking trough. for the cats and the birds, the sheep and all animals that needed a drink. And they all needed a drink now. It was so dry everywhere. Elizabeth sighed, suddenly unbearably sad. Something was going to happen to her family, and she was sure it was Lucia who was in peril. Such pity that Phil was working the dreaded February deadline for his main research grant proposal would ruin this January, as it did every January. Even worse, this week was his turn to stay at the hospital every night to deliver babies, until Thursday. Nothing was new about him being out of the house most of the time. If no babies were being born, he told her he was in the laboratory, working with his clones and eggs and sperm samples. Maybe he was. Long ago, before even the children were born, Elizabeth had adapted by working hard herself and never asking questions. Elizabeth never asked Phil to stay home and never questioned him. Recently, however, she often thought how fast life was passing, and often wished Phil would take things a little easier. Elizabeth especially wanted Phil to be next to her now, holding her, reassuring her. She needed him to tell her that Lucia would be fine, as he had when he delivered Lucia from her, smaller than his hand. Elizabeth poured another cup of tea and drank it slowly, listening to kookaburras and the weeping willows laugh over the climactic to arms of the Egyptian court. She stroked Nefertiti on her lap and whispered to the breezes a line from Aida. Retorna vincitor, return a conqueror.